Welcome to Bubba Education Institute. My name is Reverend Henry Kelly. Today we'll be continuing in Romans chapter 8. And the title at the beginning of chapter 8 is Life Through the Spirit. Life Through the Spirit. And before we get started, a good books to have to help you with your biblical studies. It's good to have the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary or the whole commentary. But this is Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary on the whole Bible. Then they have like the thicker version that has, you know, everything in it. But this is modern language and it's a little easier to understand. But the other one's good too. And you can get that book, or you can also get the Matthew Henry Commentary on the whole Bible online, and it's free. It is www.biblestudytools.com. You can go to menu, go to study tools, go to commentaries, down to Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible complete, and then you can, it's a good resource to have. Another good resource to have is Flavius Josephus, the complete works of Flavius Josephus. He was a military and Jewish historian during the early church. And so he fills in a lot of those blanks there that we may not have, because it's good to know the history of the church and Old Testament, New Testament, and all like that, and also to get books on Hebrew and Greek, like the dictionaries and stuff, to understand what the wording is and all. It's really good to have, good to know. It helps you to understand. Okie doke, let's go ahead and let's get into Romans chapter 8. Before I do that, though, I tell you why we can trust the Bible. And I got this from Dr. Rudy Bachum, which you can follow him on. If you put Rudy Bachum Ministries online on your search engine, and it'll pull up his ministry. You can follow that. He's also all over YouTube, all this preaching and teaching. And I got this from him. It's very good, why we can depend on the Bible and trust in the Bible. The Bible, a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. 40 authors, 66 volumes or books, a span of 1,500 years in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, written in three languages, mainly Hebrew, Greek, a little in Aramaic, hundreds of subjects and topics. And that's why we can believe the Bible. Let's go ahead and get started in Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so be condemned sin in the flesh, verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Verse 8, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is in subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Verse 15, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Verse 17, now if we are children, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory, present suffering and future glory. Verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Verse 20, for the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. Verse 21, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Verse 24, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brothers and sisters. Verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Okay, this is the second. This is the next section. More than conquerors, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he now also, along with him, graciously give us all things? 33. Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers. Verse 39, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that concludes Romans chapter 8. And that last one there, that just reading that last part of starting at more than conquerors, verses 31 to 39, lets us know how much God cares for us and how much he loves us. And I think it's fantastic. Okay, now I'm going to switch over to Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary on the Whole Bible in reading Romans chapter 8. Okay, so let's get started. Okay, again, I'm now switched over to Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary on the Whole Bible to better understand what we just read in the Bible. Okay, number one, examples of Christian privilege, verses 1 through 28. Number two, the groundwork laid in predestination, verses 29 to 30. Verse 3, the apostles' triumph, verses 31 to 39. The freedom of believers from condemnation, verses 1 through 9. The privilege of being the children of God, verses 10 to 17. Their hope for prospects under tribulation, verses 18 to 25. Their assistance from the Spirit in the prayer, verses 26 to 27. Their interest in the love of God, verses 28 to 31. Their final triumph through Christ, verses 32 to 39. Let's begin. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. In Matthew Henry's concise commentary on the whole Bible, believers may be chastened by the Lord, but will not be condemned with the world. By their union with Christ through faith, they are thus secured what is the principle of their walk. The flesh of the Spirit, the old or the new nature, corruption of grace. For which of these do we make provision, by which we are governed? The renewed will is unable to keep any commandment fully, and the law, besides outward duties, requires inward obedience. God showed abhorrence of sin by the suffering of his Son in the flesh, that the believer's person might be pardoned and justified. Thus satisfaction was made to divine justice, and the way of salvation opened for the sinner. By the Spirit, the law of love is written upon the heart, and though the righteousness of the law is not fulfilled by us, yet blessed be God, it is fulfilled in us. There is that in all true believers which answers the attention of the law. The favor of God, the welfare of the soul, the concerns of eternity are the things of the Spirit, which those that are after the Spirit do mind. Which way do our thoughts move with most pleasure? Which way go our plans and controversies? Are we wise for the world or for our souls? Those that live in pleasure are dead. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, a sanctified soul is a living soul, and that life is peace. The carnal mind is not only an enemy to God, but an enmity itself. The carnal man may, by the power of divine grace, be made subject to the law of God, but the carnal mind never can. That must be broken and driven out. We may know our real state and character by requiring whether we have the Spirit of God in Christ or not. Verses 9, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Having the Spirit of Christ means having a turn of mind in some degree like the mind that was in Christ Jesus, and is to be shown by a life and conversation suitable to his precepts and example. Okay, and we're going to this section, Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 17. In Matthew Henry's concise commentary on the whole Bible, if the Spirit be in us, Christ is in us. He dwells in the heart by faith. Christ in the soul is its nature, and the soul is alive to God and has begun its holy happiness, which shall endure forever. The righteousness of Christ in pure secures the soul the better part from death. From hence we see how much it is our duty to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If any habitually live according to the corrupt lustings, they will certainly perish in their sins, whatever they profess and can a worldly life present. Worthy for a moment to be put against the noble prize of our high calling, let us then by the Spirit endeavor more and more to mortify the flesh. Regeneration by the Holy Spirit brings a new and divine life to the soul, though in a feeble state, and the sons of God have the Spirit to work in them the disposition of children. They have not the spirit of bondage, which the Old Testament church was under through the darkness of that dispensation. The Spirit of adoption was not then plentiful poured out. Also, it refers to that spirit of bondage under which many saints were at their conversion. Many speak peace to themselves, to whom God does not speak peace, but those who are sanctified have God's Spirit witnessing with their spirits and by his speaking peace to the soul, though we may now seem to be losers for Christ, we cannot be losers by and in the end. Continuing in Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 25, the sufferings of the saints strike no deeper than the things of time, last no longer than the present time, are light afflictions, and but for a moment. How wastefully different are the sentence of the word of the sentiment of the world concerning the sufferings of this present time. Indeed, the whole creation seems to wait with earnest expectation for the period when the children of God shall be manifested in the glory prepared for them. There is an impurity, deformity, and infirmity which has come upon the creature by the fall of man. There is an enmity of one creature to another, and they are used or abused rather by men as instruments of sin. Yet this deplorable state of the creation is in hope. God will deliver it from thus being held in bondage to man's depravity. The miseries of the human race through their own and each other's wickedness declare that the world is not always to continue as it is. Our having received the first fruits of the Spirit quickens our desires, encourages our hopes, and raises our expectations. Sin has been and is the guilty cause of all the suffering that Christ exists in the creation of God. Let me read that again. Sin has been and is the guilty cause of all sufferings that exist in the creation of God. It has brought on the woes of earth. It has kindled the flames of hell. As to men, not a tear has been shed, not a groan has been uttered, not a pang has been felt in body or mind that has not come from sin. This is not all. Sin is to be looked at as if it affects the glory of God. Of this, how fearfully regardless are the bulk of mankind. Believers have been brought into a state of safety, but their comfort consists rather in hope than enjoyment. From this hope, they cannot be turned by the vain expectations of finding satisfaction in the things of time and sense. We need patience. Our way is rough and long, but he that shall come will come, though he seems to tarry or to wait. Continue Romans chapter 8, verse 26-27. Though the infirmities of Christians are many and great, so that they would be overpowered if left to themselves, yet the Holy Spirit supports them. The Spirit, as an enlightening spirit, teaches us what to pray for, as a sanctifying spirit works and stirs up praying graces as a comforting spirit, silences our fears and helps us over all discouragements. The Holy Spirit is the spring of all desires towards God, which are often more than words can utter. The Spirit who searches the hearts can perceive the mind and will of the Spirit. He renewed the mind, and he advocates his cause. The Spirit makes intercession to God, and the enemy prevails not. Romans chapter 8, verse 28-31. That is good for the saints, which does their souls good. Every providence tends to the spiritual good of those who love God and breaking them off from sin, bringing them nearer to God, weaning them from the world, and fitting them for heaven. When the saints act out of character, corrections will be employed to bring them back again. And here is the order of the causes of our salvation, a golden chain, one which cannot be broken. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, all that God designed for glory and happiness. As the end, he decreed to grace and holiness as the way. The whole human race deserved destruction, but for reasons not perfectly known to us, God determined to recover some by regeneration. And the power of his grace, his predestinated, or before decreed, that they should be conformed to the image of his Son. In this life they are in part renewed and walk in his steps. Number two, whom he did predestine, then he also called. It is an effectual call from self and earth to God and Christ in heaven as our destination, from sin and vanity to grace and holiness as our way. This is the gospel call, the love of God ruling in the hearts of those who once were enemies to him. Prove that they have been called according to his purpose. Number three, whom he called, them he also justified. None are thus justified, but those that are effectually called. Those who stand against the gospel call abide under the guilt and wrath. Number four, whom he justified, them he also glorified. The power of corruption being broken in effectual calling, and the guilt of sin removed in justification. Nothing can come between that soul and glory. This encourages our faith and hope, because as for God, his way and his work is perfect. The apostle speaks as one amazed and swallowed up in admiration, wondering at the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. The more we know of other things, the less we wonder. But the further we are led into the gospel mysteries, the more we are affected by them. While God is for us and we keep in his love, we may with holy boldness defy all the powers of darkness. Okay, continually Romans chapter 8, verse 32 and 39. Continually reading in Matthew Henry's concise commentary on the whole Bible after reading Romans chapter 8 in the Bible, the NIV, New International Version. Okay, let's continue to Romans chapter 8, verse 32 and 39 in the commentary. All things, whatever in heaven and earth, are not so great a display of God's free love as the gift of his co-equal Son to be the atonement of the cross for the sin of man, and all the rest follows upon union with him and interest in him. This includes everything that can be the causes or means of any real good to the faithful Christian, that he that has prepared a crown and a kingdom for us will give us what we need in the way to it. Men may justify themselves, though the accusations are in full force against them. But if God justifies, that answers all. By Christ we are thus secured. By the merit of his death he paid our debt. Yea, rather that is risen again. This is convincing evidence that divine justice was satisfied. We have such a friend at the right hand of God. He's talking about Jesus. All power is given to him. He is there making intercession. Believer, does your soul say within you, oh, that he were mine, and oh, that I were his, that I could please him and live to him? Then do not toss your spirit and perplex your thoughts and fruitless endless doubtings, but as you are convinced of ungodliness, believe on him who justifies the ungodly. You are condemned, yet Christ is dead and risen. Flee to him as such. Remember, as it said here, Christ is dead and risen. So he died for us, he paid the price for us, and then he rose from the dead. Flee to him as such. God, having manifested his love and giving his own Son for us, can we think that anything should turn aside or do away that love? Troubles neither cause nor show any abatement of his love. Whatever believers may be separated from, enough remains. None can take Christ from the believer. None can take the believer from him. And that is enough. All other hazards signify nothing. Alas, more sinners, though you abound with the possessions of this world, what vain things are they? Can you say of any of them, who shall separate us? You may be removed from pleasant dwellings and friends and estates. You may even live to see and seek your parting. At last you must part, for you must die. Then say farewell to all that this world accounts most valuable. And what hast thou left, poor soul, who has not Christ, but that which thou wouldest gladly part with, and canst not? The condemning guilt of all thy sins, but the soul that is in Christ, when other things are pulled away, cleaves to Christ, and these separations pain him not. Yea, when death comes, which breaks all other unions, even that of the soul and body. It carries the believer's soul into the nearest union with its beloved Lord Jesus and the full enjoyment of Him forever. And that ends Romans chapter 8, reading from reading after reading Romans chapter 8 in the New Testament using the NIV Bible, and then reading Matthew Henry's concise commentary on the whole Bible, just to make it a little easier to get into and understand from what the Bible says. Okay, now, let me read some scripture. John chapter 6, verse 44 and 65, NIV. No one can come to the Father. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them at the last day. Okay, let me read that again. John chapter 6, verse 44 and 65, NIV. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. Verse 65 of John 6. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. I'm going to read you some salvation scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 13, King James Version, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised from the dead, shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes on righteousness, with the mouth confesses misfit to salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, King James Version, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And why do we need Christ? Because we've all broken God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. I'll just give you a few of them. Have you ever lied? And what it costs one that lies, the liar. We've all lied, even a white lie or whatever. You only have to do it once. It don't matter how long ago, if he did it as a child, we're guilty. So we've broken them all. And that's only one. Have you ever looked at another person with lust? According to Jesus, you already committed adultery in your heart. That's two. Have you ever borrowed anything, didn't bring it back, or took a pen or whatever? Don't matter the value of it, even it could be like a paper clip. Because remember, God's standards are so high and ours are so low. So that would be stealing when it calls someone that steals a thief. See, so we're all guilty. We need Christ. So if God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? We'd be guilty. Would we be going to heaven or hell? We'd be going to hell. That's why we need to realize that we've broken God's moral law, we're guilty. We need to come with a sorrowful, contrite heart, repent of our sins, ask God for forgiveness, and then take the trust you had in yourself and transfer that trust to Jesus. It's like if you're in a plane about to crash and someone gives you a parachute. You got to hold on to that parachute because it's going to save you from the jump to come. Jesus saves you from judgment to come. That's why we need that. And I would advise you to do that quickly, right away, repent, hurriedly, because you don't know. Over 100,000 people die every 24 hours in the world, and we could be on that number. I'm going to give you some resources, Dr. Vody Bakum, and you can put it in a search engine and put Vody Bakum Ministries and pull it up. Also, you can find his wonderful preaching and teaching on YouTube. And all this you can find on YouTube and their websites. R.C. Sproul, Legionnaire Ministries. Living Waters, Ray Covert, livingwaters.com. Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham, answersingenesis.org. Wall Builders with David Barton, wallbuilders.com. And he goes over mostly American Christian history and other history, but he's really good. Dr. Walter Martin, waltermartin.org. Apology of Studies with Pastor Jeff Durbin. ApologiaStudios.com. You can also listen to the audio on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you go on the website, if you look on the menu, there'll be a either Bonson U or Dr. Bonson, Greg Bonson. And if you click on there, you can literally get a free seminary education of all the audio teachings
that he did throughout the years. He died, but the family had all of his audio recordings, and so they gave it to Apologia Studios, and so they've remastered it and everything, and now you can literally get a free seminary education. If you would like to correspond with us, the email is allowercasebibleeducationinstitute@gmail.com. And we have a website. It's a real basic one. If you'd like to donate, there's also a link. I'm in the information part of the podcast or the video audio, whatever. But it is lowercase d, lowercase b, lowercase e, 1182, lowercase e, 5831 dot site. So lowercase site, 123 dot me. And also you can follow us on Rumble, YouTube, and audio podcast on Listen Notes, Luminary Podcast Player FM, Helium Radio, Helium Radio Network, or HeliumRadio.com, Amazon, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Amazon Music, Overcast, Chrome, G-Pod, Firefox, Safari, iTunes, Audible, Alexa, Google, Podbean, Internet Explorer, Podcast Addict, and others. And here's some more good teachers that you can look up on YouTube. Doug Wilson, Gary DeMore, Pastor Jeff Durbin, or remember that, the Apologia Studios, Ligonier Ministries with Dr. R.C. Sproul, Dr. James White, he's on YouTube and with Apologia Studios, Pastor Jeff Webben with Right Response Ministries. And here's some more good resources. If you'd like some books, I like to buy used books, but you can buy new or whatever. But I go to Abe Books, ABEBOOKS, Thrift Books, Amazon and Alibris, ALIBRIS, and there's many more. You can put in the book you're looking for, and then it will pop up booksellers and stuff. And a couple more good resources is you can go to TCT Network. Just put TCT a network on your search engine, and it'll pull it up, and then go to on-demand program and go to Faith and History with William Federer. Great guy. He gives great history on all of Christian history. It's fantastic. Very interesting. Another one for Old Testament. You can learn the Old Testament, but he's no longer on TCT, but you can go to his websites, RabbiDanielLappin.com, and his wife helps him out, Susan Lappin. You can find him on YouTube and on his website. And also, he has a podcast, Rabbi Daniel Lappin Podcast. Very interesting. And so, till next time, read the Bible daily without fail and do what it says.